It's always a joy to come into the house of the Lord, to enter in his gates with thanksgiving, and to bring praises to the Lord. And I trust this morning that you have sensed his presence, that you are rejoicing in the great things God has done and the great things God is doing. Last week, we started a series and entitled Celebrating God's Gift, and we looked at God's reason, and it is his love. We have a theme verse, and we looked at that together, and no matter where you are in your journey in this life, there is one fact that we as humans, I hope we don't easily forget, but sometimes we do. And that truth is this, that God is love. That God is love. That's who he is. That's his character. That's his being. That's his expression. He is love. Yes, he is holy. He is just. He is righteous. He's all that and more. But he doesn't want us to forget that he is love. This morning we're going to look at celebrating God's gift given to God's recipient. And when we think about receiving a gift, we always want to come up with that perfect gift for that family member. And you've probably been there where you're thinking, how am I going to give this gift to this individual? And you know, sometimes around the holidays, we make fun and light of gifts. We always, as men, sometimes we don't wear them now much, unless it's a real, real, real special occasion, like ties, you know. And so some of us men may have those certain gifts that were given to us at Christmas time that was that special, unique color tie. And we may not wear it in public. Because, well, it's just not fashionable, but it's a tie that was given, but given out of love, hopefully, and hopefully when you celebrate Christmas and you give gifts, that you will give with that motive in mind. But this morning, we want to read together our theme verse, so will you read with me again from John chapter 3, verse 16. Let's read this together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In that verse, this is the theme verse for our series for all of Christmas. We've seen, first of all, that God so loved. But this morning, we want to focus on the next word, God so loved the world, and notice a little bit later on in that verse, whoever. God so loved the world, whoever. Reading on in chapter 3 of John, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. We're going to read through verse 17 through 21, continuing on these words that Jesus spoke. He said in verse 17, he said, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Another passage that really amplifies this thought is in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8 through 14, we read these words. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold," Luke 2. "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" When we dig a little bit deeper into John chapter 3 and try to become a student of the Greek, we find that this word world is cosmos, and it is all the world, the arrangement, the ornament, the adornment. It is used to denote the earth. And it has a meaning. It's in contrast with that of heaven. It also means the human race, mankind. And that God, his coming into the world, he was the light for all men. And it is here that God reveals, Jesus says this in his conversation to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world." God so loved the world that whoever, God's recipient is the world, which Jesus states here, "For God so loved the world." This is not fiction. This is not make-believe. This is fact. This is not wishful thinking. This is truth, capital T, truth. God loved the world. A few words later, Jesus defines this world, and if you look at different translations, the New English Translation says everyone. New King James says whoever. King James says whosoever. The Message says anyone. So the news this morning is the recipient of God's love is you. Is you. It's all of mankind. It's anyone, everyone, whosoever. God so loved. God so loved you. There, in his dictionary definition of this word, means individually, each, every, any, all, the whole, everyone, all things, everything. God loved the world, everyone in the world, so much that he gave. What would make the world so special to God that he could love it that much? In society today, we are so eager because the world in which we live is scary, it's bad, it's frightening. Turn on the news. Do we hear negative stories? Do you hear positive stories? Most of us hear negative stories. Some of us like to say that phrase, "Well, you know, the world is going to in a handbasket." And we all stand and say, "Yeah, that's right. That's right. So I don't like this world. I don't love this world. And I don't care. Jesus, come quickly. Let your wrath be poured out." But before that judgment takes place, I believe God wants us to remember that he is love, and he loves the world. He loves all people. He loves everyone. Yes, he loves that relative that you can't get along with. He loves that individual that is just driving you nuts. He loves that stranger who just cut you off in traffic. He loves that person who just cussed you out. He loves everyone. It blows our minds. And guess what? Are you ready? Put your seatbelt on. Are you ready? You ready? He loves you. He loves you. Not because of anything you've done. Oh, not because of anything you've done. Guess what? He loves you. Not because of anything you can do. He loves you. Not because of anything you can do. You can't earn his love. You can't win God's love. Because he is love. He loves you so much. Was it Paul that said, we love him because he first loved us. First loved us. Just for a moment, try to grapple with that. Try to put your mind around that. God loves you. It's his character. It's because of who he is. I find here that as I think about this, I think that first of all, God loves you because he made mankind in his image, in his likeness. In Genesis chapter 2, it says, the Lord, verse 7, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and the man became a living being. In verses 21 through 22, the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while the man slept, the Lord God took out one of man's ribs and closed up the opening. The Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to man. Psalm chapter 3. I know that's small, but I'll read it. It says here in the New English Translation, when I looked up at the heavens which your fingers made and see the moon and the stars which you set in place, of what importance is the human race that you should notice them? Of what importance is mankind that you should pay attention to them? You made them a little less than the heavenly beings. You crown mankind with honor and majesty. You appoint them to rule over your creation. You have placed everything under their authority, including all the sheep and cattle, as well as the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that moves through the currents of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how magnificent your reputation throughout the earth. And as other translations say, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Why? Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14 says, I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. We are made in the likeness of God, that we can know God and receive his love. One commentary wrote this, let man consider that man's body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, 1 Corinthians 6:19. That his spirit is the creation and the gift of God. And that with both, it becomes him to glorify his divine creator. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Jesus is the manifestation, the full expression of divine love. And it's because God breathed into man to made him in his likeness that we can have a relationship with God. And it's because of his love. Love expressed to you because he's made you in his image, in his likeness. Sometimes I get a little Irish, I call it. A little ornery. My last name is O'Farrell, so a little like the Irish. But I am a breed of Norwegian and Swedish. And when I'm at home, some things really drive me nuts. Like when someone comes to my door unannounced. And they come in and they want to sell me something. I didn't ask for them to come. I didn't invite them to come. I don't want them to be there. They've interrupted me, whatever I was doing, whether I was sitting watching TV or practicing guitar or whatever. And sometimes I get a little irritable. I know that might find hard for you to believe, but I do. And the Irishness comes out. And I remember one time these two individuals came and they were just trying to do their job. Yes, they were breaking the rules. They're not supposed to come in our neighborhood and solicit, but they were trying to sell me something. I said, listen, don't sell me anything. I don't want it. Goodbye. I was really nasty. And then the Lord convicted me of that. He said, you weren't loving at all. Those individuals were made in my image, in my likeness, and they need to know my love. So what did I do? I jumped in my car and I tried to drive around and find them. I did. I didn't find them. But it taught me that every person in whom we meet, sometimes we think the world circles around me, myself, and I. Listen, it should be circling around God Almighty and who He is. And God wants me to be an expression of His love to those who do not know Him, who are made in His likeness. Hard sometimes for us to handle. But they are fearfully and wonderfully made. I also see that God made the physical world, the universe, not the worldly system. If you turn to Genesis chapter 1, a reminder of this, and this is before the curse and before the fall. And as you read this passage and you go through this scripture, you find that God, and He made the heavens, He made the earth, day and night, sun, moon, stars, and He said over and over again three words. It was. It was like just crap, excuse my word. No, He said it was good. It was good. Verse 10, God called the dry ground, land, and water seas, and God saw, and it was good. Verse 12, the land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. To govern the day, verse 18, to govern the day and night, God, and to separate the light from darkness, God made all that, and God saw that it was good. Verse 21, so God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the waters and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. God made, in verse 25, God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, small animals, each able to produce offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Over and over, yes, before the fall, and we can get technical. Well, that was before the fall, Pastor. It was all good. But now, man, because of sin in the world, it's not all good. God made the physical world and the universe to hang in stars and space, and man does his very best to excuse and not realize that there is a creator of the universe. And we do everything to rationalize everything in our finite thinking. And God is so above and beyond our finiteness. He is infinite. But I do know that what He made when He spoke, He declared in His word under the inspiration of the God-breathed scriptures that it was good. Who am I to tell God otherwise? God so loved the world. I find here, thirdly, that God also made the plan of reconciliation. Yes, the curse came, man fell. We don't know the depths, but oh, they are, I would say, wide and deep and broad and large, more than I will ever know, the depths of how far man has fallen from God because of the curse. But God made a plan, the plan of reconciliation, not because of any righteousness of man. Man had fallen. Man is sinful. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Put the best person on the planet before you. They've still fallen so far from the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way. But the Lord God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Why? Because we deserve it? No. Because we've earned it? No. Because our character is worthy of it? No. Because of who God is. Because he is love. And he loves the world. That's what he does. God loved the world, and he had made and reached out to reconcile his rebellious creation to himself. Beautiful words in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. All this is from God who, through Christ, is verse 18 actually. All this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Did you see that phrase? I underlined it. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, reconciling mankind, all of humankind. As Thayer says, everyone, all, anyone, reconciling mankind to himself. God brings us back to himself, reconciles us to him by blotting out our sins and making us right with him. When we trust in Jesus Christ, we are no longer God's enemies, hallelujah, or strangers, hallelujah, or foreigners, hallelujah to him. Because we've been reconciled to God, we have the privilege of encouraging others to do the same. And thus, we are those who have the task of reconciling people to trust in him. Hallelujah. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation because he has demonstrated it himself to you and to me. As I look a little bit deeper in John chapter 3, we see that God sent his son into the world that the world might be saved through him. Again, one commentary says, to believe is more than intellectual agreement that Jesus is God. It means to put our trust and confidence in him, that he alone can save us. It is to put Christ in charge of our present plans and eternal destiny. Believing is both trusting his words as reliable and relying on him for the power to change. If you have never trusted Christ, let this promise of everlasting life be yours. Believe, believe. Jesus said, he who believes in me, he who believes in me will have everlasting life. Hallelujah. God saves those who believe in the name of the only Son of God. And guess what? They are not condemned. If you believe in Jesus, guess what? Good news. You're not condemned. You're not condemned. You may feel guilty, unworthy, but you're not condemned by him. Everybody around you could be pointing fingers at you, right? Accusing you, but you're not condemned. Jesus, if you know him, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You're not condemned. Some of us tried to confess our sins before God, knowing that he is just and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know that he has broken the chains of sin that binds us, but we kind of like to hang on to those chains. Even though God has broken the chains, we kind of try to take out our own welding torch, so to speak, and try to weld them back together because we want to keep that victim mentality. Oh, woe is me, I'm a sinner. I am no good. I am just a sinner. Yes, but I trust you are a sinner saved by grace, and you are no longer considered a stranger, an alien from God. You're considered a friend of God, a child of God. You've been bought with a price. He's taken off the old robes of sin, the old robes of the chains that bind you, and he has placed his royal robes upon you. Those robes are holy. Those robes are good. Those robes are the character of Christ. Those robes are his righteousness imputed upon you as a child of God. Those are his robes. You're not condemned. We see also here in verse 19 that God's light exposes the works done in darkness, and they are evil because people love the darkness rather than the light. And this brings judgment. And God is righteous in his judgment. Right now, we are under grace. There is time for us to declare the ministry of reconciliation to the world because God has reconciled us to himself. Therefore, I can encourage others to come to know this freedom in Christ, this love in Christ. Be set free from my guilt. Be set free from my shame. Be set free from the sin that binds us. And then fall in love with Jesus so much that I love him. I love his word. I love his righteousness. I love his righteousness. Not man's righteousness. I love God's righteousness. And I'm moved by the Spirit to do what God wants me to do, to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to breathe in the Spirit. Therefore, out of my overflow abundance, because I'm intimately involved with the Creator God by his Spirit through faith in Christ, the fruit of the Spirit just naturally bubbles up and flows over so I can love like God loves. I can have joy. I can have peace and gentleness and kindness and goodness because I am his and he is mine. Yesterday we went shopping for the annual Christmas tree. And the battle is in our household, well, we're getting older. I don't know if we can deal with getting a real tree this year again or not. Maybe it's time to get an artificial tree. And it's okay if you have an artificial tree. That's wonderful, okay? We haven't made that jump, but we thought yesterday might be the jump, okay? So we went to the store and we looked online. Oh, that one looks good in the picture and so forth. We went there. Now, you must understand, my wife is from Maine. So she grew up where trees are trees. Okay, we're Floridians. I grew up in a home that had an artificial tree, so I had no idea. But since our marital bliss, we've always had a real tree. So we go look at the artificial trees, and we come and we discover that, I just don't know if we can do this. I just don't know. And so we went and looked at a real tree. Guess what we got? Yeah, we got a real tree. So feeling sort of triumphant in that accomplishment, we came home. I took it off, and I was going to put it in the stand. I was going to be the man of the house and put it in the stand. Okay? I almost lost my sanctification. had to drill a hole in the bottom of the tree, put the stand in there thinking it sanded up, and it as I was hammering the thing in, the bucket that holds the water came apart, and it was just a mess, and the more I tried, the worse it got, and I was just feeling not only terrible, just wicked and evil. Had visions of burning the tree at that moment. Tree. But what was even more disheartening than all that, and thankful for my oldest son, who is both my son, my kids, thank the Lord that they got a brain. They didn't get my brain, but they got a brain. They got part of my brain, but they got more of their mother's brain, which is good. Good, because he came out and he fixed it. I'm so grateful. But in the midst of that, I looked on the back of a car while we were getting the tree, and there was this bumper sticker. And it bothered me. That's why I'm talking about it, I guess. I need therapy. The sticker said this. The sticker said, "Wickedness will always triumph over good, because being good is just dumb." That was the sticker. When I see John and Jesus' words, it says, people love the darkness rather than the light. I think of the hymn writer, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Paul expressed it, the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. We become habitually enslaved to the sin that so easily entangles us as we run the race to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And as we're running, we'd rather look at that which entangles us. And as Jesus has broken the chains to untangle us, to set us free, to let us run with a stride like the wind. So we can soar like eagles. We'd rather look down and try to grab that chain again and try to get it around our feet so we can get entangled with it. Father, forgive us for loving darkness rather than light. Forgive us for thinking that wickedness is better than good. Two more verses here in John. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light. But then Jesus says, whoever does what is true comes to the light, and their works have been carried out in God. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's his words. One commentary wrote, many people don't want their lives exposed to God's light because they are afraid of what will be revealed. They don't want to be changed. Don't be surprised when these same people are threatened by your desire to obey God and do what is right, because they are afraid that the light in you may expose some of the darkness in their lives. Rather than giving in to discouragement, keep praying that they will come to see how much better it is to live in the light than in darkness. When I live in the light, I sense his holiness. When I live in the light, I sense his purity. When I live in the light, I sense his goodness. When I live in the light, I know the full expression of his forgiveness. When I live in the light, I am a recipient of his grace. When I live in the light, there is an inexpressible joy deep within my heart that nothing, no one, no circumstance can take away. because I am his and he is mine. When I'm living in the light, yes, I know what is right and I know what is wrong. But when I'm living in the light, I am longing to be in the light to please God, my Savior. Oh, that we will be children of the light. God's light gives us a path to walk on in this world. Because God so loves the world. Because God so loved the world, whoever, anyone, you can know God and love him. You can be forgiven of all your sins. Yeah. You can be forgiven. You can love others with God's love. Yeah. That relative who drives you absolutely crazy. You can love them with God's love. It can happen. You can have hope. You can have hope. And you can have the assurance of heaven, of eternal life. This earth is not the final resting place. If you are a child of God, it's the kingdom of God and the presence of God for all eternity. And I hope that you are his child. Hallelujah. I can believe and behave because I'm beloved. I can believe and behave because I'm beloved. Amen. So the question this morning is, what is the Lord saying to you? What is God saying to you, to your heart? The verse, you've heard this before, but it's so true. For a moment, just take out the world, take out whoever, and put your name there. Put no one else's name, not your child's name or your spouse's name or your friend, but put your name. For God so loved, be for me, for God so loved Ted, that he gave his only begotten son, that Ted believes in him, will not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's just take a moment before we come to celebrate and remember the Lord at his table this morning to do just that. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we, your children, are in your presence this morning. We thank you for the abiding presence of your Holy Spirit upon us. We thank you for what it means. And Lord, we come again to be reminded, to be challenged, to be refreshed from your word, thanking you that you are love, that you love us so much. You love us. You love the world. You love whoever. You love everyone and anyone, all people. And yes, Lord, we do confess that there are times we love darkness rather than light. There are times when we love ourselves more than others. There are times when we are selfish and prideful instead of a servant and humble. And so, Lord, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit in these moments that you will pour out your love. That you will teach us by your Spirit, we, your children, who are yours, to love as you love. And Lord, for all of us here, and maybe some for the very first time, that we will receive your love. We confess we don't deserve it. We don't earn it. It's only by faith. Maybe you're here this morning. You've never made that real commitment. Maybe it's just been an intellectual thing about Jesus, but you've never really received him into your life. And I pray that you will. It's an act of faith. Just ask him to to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to fill you with your spirit. It is a gift. Believer, you may be here this morning and you may be wrestling with so many things in your heart, in your life, from your thought life to maybe actions or whatever it might be. You might find that you're trapped in that bondage, though you've been set free from sin over and over again, but you're just entangled in it. Maybe the enemy is just trying to accuse you of more shame and more guilt. But it's time to let go and let God. It's time to let go and let God. It's time to let God finally set you free and bring freedom, bring liberty, and let his love shower upon you again. You are not what the world declares you to be. You are a son or daughter of the Most High God. You have been bought with a price. You have been redeemed by his precious blood. You are no longer strangers or aliens. You've been called friends of God. You are a child of God, a royal priesthood set apart to be part of the bride of Christ, who God is making ready. I challenge you, believer, to come to him. Lord, we thank you for your grace this morning. We thank you again for your love. We thank you that you love us. May our arms and our hearts and our minds and our souls and our bodies be open wide to receive your love this morning. And then may we continue in your love and bring the ministry of reconciliation to others, we ask. And now as we come to celebrate the Lord's table, we pray by your Holy Spirit you'll continue to search our hearts and draw us closer to you. This we ask in Jesus' name.